You're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal here in the beautiful studio at Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center. And thank you for joining us for another episode of Upon Further Review, brought to you by our pals at Coors Light. And my friends, we've done it. We have officially done it. I am coming to you now after the Silver and Black have wrapped up their second practice of training camp 2021, just the beginning of this journey, of this quest that we are all going to go on to return to the playoffs. But we're here. It's finally happened. And it feels, and I've talked to you guys about this a bunch, it feels like the offseason, it takes so long. But on the other side of things, it just kind of goes in the blink of an eye, because it feels like just yesterday that I was recording from my guest bedroom talking about like our week 13 result against Team X, and it feels like so long ago. And now we're here in the studio, we're looking at a brand new season, we are filled with optimism and hope and excitement about what could be for your Las Vegas Raiders in 2021. And like I said, it feels like it's been a really long time since the guest bedroom, but it also feels like it was about 2 weeks ago. But regardless, we are here. We are excited. The studio is pumping. The studio has been filled essentially all day today, which gives my spirit such joy, because that's what this was supposed to be like. We were supposed to be just being a content factory and taking advantage of all these brand new, beautiful bells and whistles that we had built for us, I guess, technically in 2019 and a half, whenever it was. And it feels like today, in the past couple days, that it is really, we've gotten a kind of a glimpse of what it could be and what it should be. And like I said, that just brings such a smile to my heart. It lifts my spirit. And it is just the beginning, my friends. It is just the beginning of this journey for us. It is just the beginning of this journey for this team. And I cannot wait to hang out with you guys every week, as we always do, but to really, for the next, between now and hopefully the end of January, be with you all every single week, talk about what is going on, and have a lot of fun doing it. So we're going to talk about camp. You bet we are. We're going to bring in just a few minutes our guest this week, friend of the program, really good friend of the program, Nicholas Morrow, linebacker for your Las Vegas Raiders, and a guy that, frankly, has a lot of expectation attached to him this year. John Gruden said the other day that Nick Morrow is one of his favorite players, that it is his time, and we have come a long way from the undrafted free agent out of Greenville in 2017. This Nicholas Morrow is going to be looked at as one of the key cogs on this defense, a guy that is going to have to play really, really well if this defense wants to change its tune from a year ago, and he is a guy that we think is very well suited to do just that, and we are excited to talk to him in just a few minutes. But before we do that, we begin, as we always do, with our transactions. So, beginning in chronological order, since the last time we spoke, the Silver and Black have made the following moves. And sit back and relax, because it is the first week of training camp, and that means we got a lot of things to discuss. So, on July 23rd, the Raiders signed linebacker Divine Diablo and defensive end Malcolm Coombs. Then just a few days later, on July 25th, they placed cornerback Isaiah Johnson and the aforementioned Divine Diablo on the active/physically unable to perform list, a.k.a. the PUP list. They also placed tackle Devery Hamilton on the active non-football illness list, a.k.a. the NFI list, as well as placed defensive tackle Darius Stills on the active/non-football injury list. Now, a day later, on the 26th, the Raiders signed punter Corliss Waitman and waived kicker Dominic Eberle, a little special team action for all you guys who are keeping track of the roster. And then yesterday, on July 28th, the first day of practice, the Raiders made the following moves, placing running back Kenyon Drake on the active non-football injury list, and then placing running backs Jalen Richard and Theo Riddick on the reserve COVID-19 list. So, there we are. There are your transactions. And I would just say this. This is the time of the year, the time of year for transactions. The roster is, as we talk about all day time, is a living, breathing, fluid thing. So we are going to have a ton of transactions in the coming days. It's just the nature of the beast. And it's one of those deals where over the next couple weeks, we're going to get a much clearer picture of this Raiders roster. Right now, 90 guys on the roster, and we're still trying to figure out who's going to be where and who's going to fill what role and things like that. But we will, I promise you, my friend, over the next couple weeks, especially as we dive into the preseason and then get ready for week one on Monday Night Football against Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, we will figure out a lot of things about your 2021 Las Vegas Raiders. And that journey really began in earnest yesterday with the first day of practice, which is, as you would assume, our first headline. And we were at a practice for the first time, obviously, because it was the first practice, duh. But for me, it was a really cool day because last year was so bizarre in so many different ways. And one of the ways that that bizarreness kind of manifested itself is that none of us went to training camp. Training camp was open, quote unquote, yes. But for all of us, we weren't here. We were out of the building. We were at home. And today was the first training camp practice that I have attended, or excuse me, yesterday, I should say, was the first training camp practice that I had attended since 2019 in Napa. And it felt, I can't say that it felt normal, right? Because we are still living in this world of COVID protocol. We are still living in a world of health and safety and figuring out how we are going to navigate our current reality. So it didn't feel normal, quote unquote, but it felt a lot closer than we've had in a really long time. And to sit outside in the beautiful Vegas morning at 7:30, which to be candid is one of my favorite times of day, Vegas or no Vegas, to sit outside and to watch football and then to come in to this studio after practice to talk about football, to break things down, to have discussions based around the thing that we love, which in this case is football, was awesome. It was so much fun. And yes, we have a lot of work to do over the coming weeks. And I would encourage all of you, shameless plug alert, to head on over to Raiders.com to see everything that we are doing. Listen to the podcast, watch the videos, read the articles, look at the photos, do it all. Give us the clicks. We need the clicks. But regardless, the fact that we are back at this place is really exciting, and we have a lot of things that we will discuss and we will learn. And now as we look back on the first day of practice, really. Now, Jesse and Merrick and I talked about this on the Raiders Training Camp podcast, another shameless plug alert. When you come into the first day, I think there's a natural assumption of fans, of everyone, that you want these guys to be going 100%. That we're seeing 11 on 11, that we're seeing the two-minute drill, that we're seeing Derek Carr to Henry Ruggs and Derek Carr, the 40-yard bomb to Bryan Edwards. And the reality of the situation is, well, I would love to see that. Well, I would love to spend 2 hours every morning just watching incredible athletic feats. That the regular season, excuse me, the entire season is a marathon. This is not a 100-yard sprint, 100-meter sprint, whatever. This is a slow build-up to where we want to be week one. This is a slow build-up to where this team wants to be at the middle of the season. This is a slow build-up to hopefully playing your best football, you know, in December, in January, down that home stretch. So when we look at the first practice in particular, like I said, really nothing, you know, overly dramatic, overly flashy. These guys are acclimating. We are getting ready to get into this process, if you will. And it's not 0 to 100. It's more like 0 to 15, then bringing it down to 0, and then going back up to 25. And I'll say this, the car has not left the residential neighborhood yet. The Raiders car of 2021 is still kind of hanging out. We're circling the cul-de-sac a little bit. You know, we're just making sure the gears and whatnot work. I'm not a car guy, so I'm kind of just spitballing what I believe is auto terminology. But, you know, we're kind of letting the gas down a little bit. But, you know, we're definitely staying in the neighborhood. We see the highway. We see it kind of in the distance. And, oh, it looks fun to get on that highway. It looks fun to put the top down, to hear that vroom, 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 and off we go. But we're not there yet. And we will be. We really will be. But it is going to take some time. So for me, when I look back at the first practice, I just look at my biggest takeaway was just really seeing guys out for the first time, right? Seeing these players really in a training camp setting for the first time in a long while. Seeing the constant rotation of guys getting thrown into the mix, offensively, defensively, special teams as well. A lot of bodies getting thrown around. A lot of different combinations of players that will get sorted out over the next couple weeks. But for me, it was really nice and exciting just to see guys out there playing ball. And as I said, this wasn't the full throttle, full Raiders experience that we're going to anticipate in the next couple days and weeks. But all the same, it was nice to see guys out there doing their thing. And I think over the next couple days, you know, really over the next, as I should say, over the next couple days, I think that that intensity is going to ratchet up. I think that naturally, as guys get more comfortable going through a practice in the protocol now, right? As I said at the top, as we kind of navigate our new normal for the time being, I think we are going to see the natural intensity increase. I think that we're, you know, Coach Gruden and Gus Bradley and Ole and Coach Passaccia are going to give a little bit more each day. We're going to work up a lather a little bit. These guys are going to start, you know, putting the pedal to the metal a little bit more. Insert whatever other cliche I haven't used just yet. But I really think that's what we're going to be looking for. So for me, that's where my eye is going to be. Yes, we're going to talk about position battles. Yes, we're going to talk about what this roster looks like, the depth chart, things that we want to see. How does this offense look? What does the offensive line look like? This retooled defense, how is that going to, you know, appear in 2021? We have a lot of questions that we need answers to, and we will get those answers. But I just encourage, and I know how hard it is, but I just preach and I encourage patience, because we will get the answers. But to think that we're going to have everything done, tied in a bow in the next 72 hours, ain't gonna happen. I'm just telling you right now, we are gonna learn this team. We are gonna grow with this team. We are gonna mature with this team. And it's gonna be a lot of fun. And speaking of someone on this team, and as I said at the top, a guy that is gonna have a lot on his shoulders this year, linebacker Nicholas Morrow. And Nick is our guest this week on the show. And in addition to being just one of the best dudes that you will ever come across in life, Nick is a great interview. He's very honest. He's very candid. He doesn't really, you know, talk in the classic kind of quote-unquote athlete cliches that you hear a lot. And he's just a really insightful dude to kind of spend a few minutes with. So when we talked to Nick today, we talked about his jump kind of from an undrafted guy to now being a leader of this defense. The biggest difference in him as a person, the biggest difference in him as a player, kind of his expectations for 2021, you know, what he's looking for out of Gus Bradley, what he sees from this group, and really everything else and everything in between. So, as I said, Nick, one of our favorite guys. So sit back, relax, and enjoy our conversation with linebacker Nicholas Morrow. Nick, at this point, it feels like, what is this, appearance 9, 10, 11 that you've done for us?
It's been a couple of them, man. I remember doing one interview. I went back to school, and I was in the parking lot. I was talking to you. I think it was like right after I signed.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. It's been a long road, and I was joking with you before we started rolling. I was like, every time I see you, man, or every time I see you virtually, those arms get a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
A little bit bigger.
Yeah.
And it's all about, what do we say, like 1% better every day, right?
Absolutely, man.
So
absolutely.
As we dive into training camp now, you know, just wrapped up the first day of real practice. It's still kind of, we're in this like pseudo normal world, right? Like, yeah. Things are definitely not as weird as they were last year, but we're not, you know, back to full 2019 status yet.
Right.
Just as a human being, like, what is it like to kind of feel like, okay, we're slowly getting back into the swing of things. We're slowly getting back into camp. And it, like you said earlier today, it feels like the new normal, not normal, but the new normal.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's the new normal to me, man. Like, we all have to adjust. We all have to adapt to what's going on. You just got to find a way to, you know, find your routine. Like, it may not be exactly like it was, like you said, in 2019, but you have to find a way to be operable in 2021. And it may be a different than what you did in 2019, but it's the new normal for you. Yeah.
You know, Coach Gruden was saying the other day that he said, you know, Nick's one of my favorite guys. This is his time, you know, 2021. This is his time to kind of show what he can do. I mean, one, that's got to be pretty cool to hear the head coach say that about you. But, like, what does that mean to you? Like, hey, this is my time to go out and do my thing.
I think the biggest thing about that, it doesn't change my approach to the game. It doesn't change my approach to a craft. I think that as long as I'm committing myself to the craft, committing myself to my teammates, everything will work out. You know what I mean? I love Coach Gruden. He sat me down when he first got in here and we had a talk. And ever since that day, he's been on me. And it's been some good days, it's been some bad days. But regardless, man, I think that as long as, like I said, we're growing together and we build that bond so that we can get to where we want to get to, that's what's most important.
You know, you look back at 2020 just for a second, and obviously your best year as a pro. Was there a moment at some point in 2020 where you're kind of just like, oh, okay, like this clicked for me, and like I realize now that I'm kind of taking this to a whole nother level?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing about 2020 was adjusting to moving inside, right? So I moved inside third down, and it kind of taught me, oh, so this is where the mic's supposed to be in this coverage. This is where he is in shell. So like that helped me do my job. And then when I moved inside, I was like, I know exactly what the nickel needs. I know exactly what the dime needs because I was there. So let me shade this way, or I know he's going to do this, so I can shade that way. So that kind of helped me. So playing multiple positions kind of helped me understand the entire defense. And eventually, like once you learn it, obviously you can play fast and anticipate, and that's where you can make your play. So that was exciting about me, just being able to be versatile in the games.
You know, you talk about being versatile and kind of moving around defensively, especially on third down. Is that something that you had always kind of wanted to do, or something that kind of just came up in the course of a season? And say, hey, Nick, you know, you've done A, B, C, and D for us. Now we got to have you do E as well.
Yeah, I think so. Two things. One is I always want to be whatever my team needs me to be. So whatever they need me to be, whatever role that is, whether that's third down, base, special teams, whatever it is, I want to make sure that I'm able to help the team be successful. Secondly, when I was in college, that was a big thing we did. I used to move around a lot, especially in my senior year. You know, I played in the deep third as a safety. I come down, play on the line of scrimmage. I play in the box, and I played outside. So it's just something that I've always kind of done since I've been playing football.
I always think about this, too, when you talk about what you were playing collegiately. Playing in Greenville, I mean, what did the defense look like at Greenville when you were there? And be nice, man. Remember, these are your teammates, right?
Yeah. I would say this. One thing about those guys is you don't have any incentives, right? You're not playing in front of thousands of fans. You're not getting paid to play. You don't have a scholarship. No one cares if you're playing. No one's coming to watch you. So you don't have the nice facility. Like, you play because you love football. And all those guys, I would say, regardless of talent level, they all worked hard and they all love football. And, you know, that's why I stuck around as long as I did the whole time. It's because I play with guys that love football, especially my DC. My DC loved football a lot, and I think that's why we were able to, you know, work together so successfully.
You know, we're hanging out here with Nicholas Mora. And, Nick, I think I know the answer to this question, but I got to ask it anyway. You know, coaches said, oh, we're looking for, you know, big things out of Nick this year. You know, the role is going to be, you know, a different, more elevated. Like, we're expecting, you know, we're putting a lot on his shoulders. Does the approach for you change at all, or is it still, hey, I'm the same Nick Mora I was in 2017 when no one drafted me and I showed up in Oakland?
No, it doesn't change. And I remember there was one game we played the Ravens at home my rookie year, and I think Markell went down, and so did Corey James. And so then I had to go in and play base and nickel, and I hadn't played base all year. I didn't really understand the adjustments, and I remember going out there, and I messed up a play, and Jack Del Rio was yelling at me, hey, spill it. And I was like, oh, I'm supposed to spill it right now, right? And so after that day, I realized, like, even if I'm not in the game, I have to prepare every single day as if I'm in it. And so for me, it doesn't change because I make sure that I'm preparing the same way I was if I was not playing, I'm just playing one or two plays, or if I'm playing the entire game. So it doesn't change, man. I have to approach the game the same way.
And I know the approach doesn't change, but there's got to be some difference, right? So what is the biggest difference between the Nick Mora that showed up in Oakland in 2017 to the Nick Mora that we're talking to here today?
Yeah, I think so. We talk about the difference. I would say it's, you know, guys look at you like, hey, you know, hey, we're in this coverage. You know, get us a line, get us set. Get the adjustments. That's a little different, right? I didn't do that, like I said, as a rookie. I didn't even really do it that much last year because I had Nick with me. But when Nick was down, I was doing it. So that's a little different, right? Guys are counting on you to get everybody in line and make sure we have the right coverage checks and running the blitzes and getting in and out of them. And that's the biggest thing. That responsibility is tough, and I accept it. And so, you know, I just got to make sure I prepare for it. And every week's the same preparation.
Are you a yeller? You don't strike me as much of a yeller.
No, I'm not a yeller. I have yelled a couple of times. Corey got on me because I yelled at Corey one time. What were we playing? I want to say we were in Atlanta. We played in Atlanta and I yelled at Corey. And Corey's like, what? Yeah, I don't really yell. No.
It's got to be you, man. Hey, if you're yelling, that's fine. If you're not, like I said, man, you just got to be you. But,
exactly.
You know, you look at this defense now, a lot of expectation attached to this group from top to bottom headed into 2021. And a new man kind of at the helm of that defense in Gus Bradley. And I know we're just, like I said, literally wrapped up the first official practice of training camp. Yeah. But what has it been like having that new voice in the room for you guys?
He brings a different level of energy than really anyone in the room. Like, he is the Energizer Bunny. I think someone says he's 70 in sunshine every day. But his energy, I think we all feed off of as a defense. And just being able to coach us up and still love on us at the same time, right? It's not a, hey, I'm coaching you because I think you're less than me. It's I'm coaching you because I believe in you and I think that you can go to another level. I think that's why everyone kind of gravitates to him, because he's trying to grow the man and not just a football player.
You know, just wrapping up here with our pal Nick Moore. And Nick, when you were talking to the media earlier today, you had one thing. You said one thing that I wrote down and I circled in my notebook. You said you talked about the importance of growing together. And that was one of the reasons why you wanted to come back to Vegas, why you wanted to re-sign here and kind of keep this journey going, because you love this place, you love this organization, you love this team. And what does that mean to you to grow together? I think there's obviously like the superficial, like, hey, we're going to have a bunch of guys here that are going to be here for multiple years. But it feels like you were kind of alluding to something a little deeper than that.
Yeah, it's the relationships, right? We can go out here and we can play football, and then we can go home for the summer and off season and just do our own thing. But when you can call your friend up and he's a teammate on the off season, you know, whatever it is. Like, I remember I called Nick. I'm sitting in my garage, I'm pulling into a lift, and I'm like, let me call Nick. Or I call Javen. I text Javen, like, hey, you good? And he called me, FaceTime me, right? Like, those type of relationships, man, they last for a lifetime. It's far greater than just, you know, playing next to someone for, you know, what, 17 games now? It's about the relationships. And those relationships help you understand the person next to you. And when you can understand them, the communication becomes better. You play cohesively better. And then everyone can contribute. So it's about a level of respect as well. So that's why, man, I think that the relationships are important. And you have to value that, because you can't buy that.
Yeah, man. And I tell anyone who will listen, right? It doesn't matter if you're doing what I'm doing or if you're doing what you're doing. This is a relationship business.
Exactly.
Like that at the end of the day, we are all just human beings that have to relate to each other. And if we can build those relationships, it benefits everyone.
Exactly.
So, hey, man, I appreciate you taking some time on a very busy day for you. And I promise you, man, one of these days, we will get you into the studio.
Yeah, you're
I promise.
You're by yourself, man.
I know, man. I'm tired of yelling into the void, Nick. I really am.
Yeah, it's nice seeing you though, man.
Absolutely. All right, Nick, I appreciate you, brother. Stay safe, stay healthy, and I'll catch up with you soon, all right?
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
And a sincere thank you to our pal, Nicholas Morrow, for giving us a few minutes after walkthrough. And I say this especially this time of the year. Training camp is a grind. It doesn't matter if we're on the first day or the 27th day. It is a grind. So I thank Nick, and I will continue to thank everyone that comes on to any of our shows over the next month, because they do not have to do this. They are doing this to help us out, to be good teammates, and we really do appreciate it. So a big shout out to Nicholas Mora. And before we get out of here, you know what we got to do. We got to crack an ice cold Coors Light. And today, I'm going to crack an ice cold Coors Light. I guess technically it would be two beers. But I'm going to crack this cold one for a combo. Can I do that? That's my show. Of course I can do that. I'm going to crack a tall boy. How about that? I'm going to crack a tall boy for the boss, my wife, who's starting her first day of teaching this week. Very excited for her. Very excited that she's embarking on this new journey. And I can't wait to see what she does. But part two of that, I'm going to crack a cold one for all of our educators. Every single one of you. I don't care if you're teaching preschool or high school or you're getting your doctorate and you're teaching college kids. I don't care what you're doing. This ice cold Coors Light is for all of our educators out there who hopefully are finally getting their due. And we cannot exist. As we've learned over this past year and a half, we have learned how important every single one of those folks are. And we thank you for everything that you do. And this one's for you. So, on that note, we're getting out of Dodge because we have so much to do today, tomorrow, this week, this month as we drive through camp. We got a lot of things on the docket. So, for Eddie Pascal, Nicholas Morrow, our friend Alexandra behind the glass, who makes us sound so much better than we actually do in real life, and everyone else at Silver and Black Productions who helps get our little program from A to Z, we thank you deeply, humbly, and oh so sincerely. And guys, before I get out of here, I do implore you, as I said at the top, please head on over to Raiders.com, read the stories, watch the videos, listen to the podcast, do it all. We really, really appreciate it. We cannot get from A to Z without all you guys. And in that spirit, make sure you check out the Raiders Training Camp podcast wherever you get your podcast. Eddie Pascal, myself, and Jesse Merrick breaking down all things silver and black that we see at practice. And we're having a lot of fun with the show. So please make sure you give us a listen over there. Until next time, stay safe, stay healthy, and we will catch you guys next week for our usual episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.